Hello and welcome to another episode of the Running Gingerly podcast. My co-host Kevin is not here this week. He's on a well-earned rest after his run out at the Irish Trail Championships, the Morris Millions race a week and a half ago. So he'll be back soon, but in the meantime, we thought we'd put out an episode that we recorded a couple of weeks ago, all about Kev's road to recovery from learning to walk again back to running ultras. So we hope you enjoy this one, and we'll be back with a fresh episode in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Running Gingerly Podcast. I hope you're all well and enjoying yourself out on the trails. I can't speak for you, Kev, in Switzerland, but I here in the Chilterns am very tired at the moment. But anyway, we can come on to what I've been doing. Big peak week, I guess, for my training, and also just been traveling a bit, so a bit tired. But how is things in Switzerland?
Not too bad. I'm also a bit tired. It's a tough life here in Switzerland because I'm doing my running in the mountains and doing my training, but I also have to go skiing twice a week with the kids at school, so it's a difficult time. So I was skiing with them, and then I had to go for my run in the evening in the dark. So yeah, difficult life, but no, things are good.
It'll be interesting to see, because this is the first year you're really doing that. It'd be interesting to see if there's any kind of like cross training effect from skiing, because obviously that's not something you've done before. But from my few times skiing, I seem to remember quads absolutely burning from belting down mountains and stuff. So that has to be a good thing, right? If you, especially if you're chasing kids. And just to clarify, you are a teacher. You're not just chasing kids down the mountain. But that would be wrong. Don't do that. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there's any cross training benefits. I'd say there is probably, like, for quads and hamstrings.
I think there is. It's got to be good, because I feel tired, like, when I've been on skiing and then I'm going for my run in the evening. It's harder to get out and get going, and the muscles I do feel the muscles on the mountain is from the running. So there is definitely some crossover, and it's got to be better for my fitness than like sitting in the chair.
The only thing is, it's not like, you know, people often say, oh, you should get on a bike to do a bit of cross training, or get in the pool to do a bit of cross training, because it takes all the weight off your joint. I mean, I just think skiing's bad for all your joints, so I'm not sure it's got that benefit from cross training. But I think it's probably worse for knees and ankles than running,
possibly. But I'm stoic, I'll survive.
Yeah, good man. And how's the noggin? Obviously, last time you said how you ran into a tree quite late at night and nearly knocked yourself out.
Yeah, I went on the same route today and was really nervous. I kept pushing my hand up because I was like, I know it's along here, but I can't see it. But it's okay. It's still a bit tender to touch, but generally it's okay. I haven't had too many ill effects. I can still remember my name and stuff like that. So that's the most important thing.
Good.
Training good.
Excellent. My training week involved a lot of treadmill training because I was traveling at work, which I don't really enjoy, if I'm honest. I find treadmills pretty dull and tedious and very sweaty as well, I find, in the gym. You get sweat a lot. But I was trying to do, I had a speed, like a kind of fartlek session on Tuesday, and I've never really tried to do one of them on a treadmill. And I really didn't like that. Like, running really fast on a treadmill is not a pleasant experience, because you can't just stop. Like, you know, I kept like thinking I was going to just shoot off the back of it, you know what I mean? It's like, it's one thing when you're just out doing like your fartleks on the trails, because you can really go for it, and you know, okay, if you're knackered, fine, you ease off the last few seconds of your whatever 2 minute burst or something. But when you're trying to do 2 or 3 minutes on a treadmill at like threshold pace, that it really scared me. I was like, I'm not that comfortable here. But
there's definitely a chunk of peril which you don't have on the trail. Yeah. Like, if you don't run fast enough, you're going to injure yourself.
And also, I was much more self-conscious doing it in a gym. I guess you don't really see anyone if you're out in the trails, but I don't know, it felt, because most people in the gym are just like jogging along, and then you're absolutely dripping in sweat and cranking it up as fast as it can go. So anyway, that was part of my my yeah
How long
week.
were you on the treadmill for? Because I tried a treadmill once when I was away, and I basically made it 15 minutes, and then I was like, I am so bored, I need to get off. And I tried everything. I'd like turned it up to the maximum to try and run with that, turned it down, done sort of like fartleks gradually getting faster. I turned up the elevation, so how steep can I make it? And after 15 minutes, I was just bored. Like, did you have music
Yeah,
or what?
I was listening to some podcasts actually, and I had so three sessions. I had one which was, as I said, the fartleks, which at least kept it a bit interesting, and then the other two were 1 hour and 1 hour 15 just on a treadmill, and they were pretty dull, especially the 1 hour 15. That was a long time to be on a treadmill, but hey ho, got through it. Came back and then had a really good hill session Friday. Just pleased with my absolute jelly legs, which I've not had for a long time. Properly like wobbly legs after the end of it, which was good.
Nice.
And then did a nice long one on a Saturday. That was actually my 7th day on the bounce, just because I had things. I normally would have a rest day, but because I'd run on done my long run the previous Sunday and then Saturday this week. So yeah, so it was a good week. Good week, but very, very enjoyable. Feeling like I'm getting a bit fitter, a bit stronger. So all good.
Well, that is good. That is good. And yeah, it's is that if you can stay fitter and stronger and stay uninjured, then it's good times.
That is the key. That is the key. Which is again an excellent segue. It's as if we planned this, which we definitely didn't. But in terms of staying uninjured, that was what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about road to recovery because. For those of you that don't know, obviously they only know you now as a running, ultra running extraordinaire, obviously, Kev.
Ultra
But
runner,
you.
maybe. I'm not sure about the extraordinaire. People congratulate me for things, and I'm like, I didn't win anything. I did the race, but I didn't win anything.
I didn't actually, I've never won anything. But obviously, a few years back, 2017 now, is that right? 2017, you had quite a bad accident, which you talk about. Which meant that you basically had to learn to walk again. The year before 2016, we did our first UTMB. We had a great race, did really well. I think we're full of kind of the full of the joie de vivre of ultra running and ready to get going. And then you had that accident. And
So it's all my
yeah, it was
fault.
it's all your fault as to why we're not professional ultra runners now. But I thought it'd be interesting for people to hear about that recovery that you did, what you were doing, how you kind of set goals. And I'm interested as well, because obviously, to get back to where you are now is a huge road. And I often, I listen to a lot of running podcasts, and often people have serious injuries and they kind of, very down about it and how you look at next steps and big picture thinking and all of that. So, yeah, I thought it'd be an interesting one to talk about. So to start, you just want to give I mean, there's a whole other episode in this accident in itself, but I'll let you give the headline figures from it.
Yeah, the
Come
headline
back.
figures. There is definitely that is like it's not quite the into thin air sort of or crawling through. What was the one where you had to crawl through the
It
stone after
touching the void,
touching
was
the
it? Was it
void?
touching the void?
It's not
Yeah.
quite touching the void, but it did involve me crawling through deep snow with a broken back for what felt like 3 hours, but was probably only I think
Well, I
it
mean that
was about an hour, I think.
there was an article in The Guardian entitled "I Snowboarded Down a Mountain with a Broken Back," which was about it. So,
Yeah.
that probably sums it up.
Yes. Which was misleading because I was definitely not snowboarding.
But
I was crawling and sliding face down. But anyway, that's as you say, that's a different topic, not so relevant for running. So yeah, I was snowboarding. Long story short, I clearly thought I was better than I was, and we're snowboarding on a piece off piste and with our little brother, and we were going in and out of the trees, and I went into a tree, I guess. Yeah, so I was going down, and I just caught an edge of the snowboard, and by the time I sort of controlled myself again, it was too late, and mullered into a big tree. My left thigh hit the tree. My snowboard was to the right of the tree. I went to the left, and it was kind of a whiplash effect. And with that whiplash effect, I exploded was the correct term.
Yeah,
I
I
broke
believe so.
my vertebrae. It wasn't just a crack, it exploded. I think it was L2. It's the very bottom of your back, above the very bottom bump on your back, I guess. And it exploded into many, many little pieces. And so after I did my crawl through the snow, and then we got there, I was like collecting modes of transport. I was pulled on the I crawled a bit for myself, then I was pulled on a sleigh for a bit, then I was in an ambulance, then I got a helicopter and ended up in the hospital, where I had a big operation, and they sliced me open. They removed some spinal fluid because it was compression and stuff on the nerves, spinal nerves. And then they put in, because that vertebrae was exploded, so they put in, they removed some little bits, and they put in some screws and plates to fix the two vertebrae above and the two vertebrae below, with big metal rods, which were very big. They were like, I don't know, a foot or so long. I initially thought they were quite small, but they needed to make them quite big and the incision quite big. So the scar down my back is about, I don't know, a foot long or something. And yeah, and that was the long and short of what happened. And I was in the hospital with a exploded back.
So we're off to a cheery start to this podcast, which is good. So, obviously, we want to focus. There's a whole story there, as I said. Maybe it is one for another episode. But we're going to focus on the running piece of it. At what point, obviously, you're tripping off your head on morphine and stuff for the first few weeks, I think. At what point did you kind of allow yourself to think about what that meant for running or? Did running even come, did it even, because it was a big part of your life at the time, did it even kind of cross your mind at that stage, or were you really just focused on, I need to be able to walk or sit up, or I don't know, how did you kind of break that down?
I think at the start, it didn't really cross my mind. It was so clear that I wasn't able to do it, that it wasn't very frustrating. It wasn't something I thought about. It was lower down the my concerns. I
I mean,
think
did you have, did you even have the conversation at the time, like, will I be able to walk again? Will I be able to run again? Was there kind of conversations you had with doctors or anyone at that stage?
Well, as you say, I had taken a lot of drugs, so the early conversations are very fuzzy. I have texts and phone conversations with people that I have no recollection of. I think the surgeon who operated on me, he was very good, because that was a big thing. It was a huge thing for me. It was sort of a, life, one of the big moments in my life. For him, he does three or five of these a day, and he says, well, in the winter it's all skiers and snowboarders from around France where I did it, and in the summer it's hand gliders and mountain bikers. So he was very good, because he was like, he said, we did
Normalized
it,
it, yeah.
it should all be okay. I don't see any reason why you can't make a bit of recovery. Hey, maybe you might have to adjust a few things in your life. But that time in when we're in the hospital in France, aside from only this one or two people speaking English, the surgeon and some of the physios, it wasn't really a discussion. The discussion was more getting me up and walking and out of the hospital, and that was my main concern. So I didn't really start thinking about the running until I was back, and I was in England at the time, and I saw a consultant in England about maybe 3 months after the operation or something like that. And that's when I'd had a bit more time to think. I was recovering a bit, and I was able to like walk again. And so then I could start thinking, okay, well, what is the plan and what should I be doing to get better.
And I remember, like, you obviously went back to Ireland for a while to recuperate as well. But, you know, after France, you went to Ireland with the folks, and them saying about how every day they could take you for a walk, basically, and you'd walk, like, try and get to the garden gate or try and get to the next bit. And do you think your kind of ultra running helped in any of that? In that, I mean, I remember doing races with you before that when we were kind of getting into this, where we'd be, you know, you're late on in your race and you're like, oh, we just try to run to that next tree and then we can have a walk, or, you know, we run to that next boulder and then we have a walk. Did you find yourself kind of a slight competitive edge when you were doing those things of like, I'm going to try and get to the end of the garden this time, or I'm going to try and get to the, you know, I don't know, wherever it was.
Yeah, I think it did help. I think it helped in two ways. One, that competitive streak and that desire to do essentially a pointless challenge. Like we run 100 miles and there's no point and it hurts, but we do it because you have joy in the sense of achievement or everything. So there's a
And you can put it
joy.
all over the gram, obviously, as well. That's why we do it.
There is a joy, and I think for life, you need to have those little aims and little goals in life. And if at the end of the day, nowadays, if I've gone for a run, it's going to be a good day, or there will be good aspects. And then when you couldn't do much, if I could say, well, at least I've walked a little further than yesterday, therefore it's a good day. So it was that goal was very important for, I guess, for your mental health. And then the other thing reason it was helpful, I think, is just the pain tolerance, because I didn't want to injure myself. But once I knew that walking or doing this was not going to make it worse, it was going to help. I was like, well, let's do it.
You
It's
can
going to
push
hurt,
through,
but
yeah.
I have things, I've had plenty of things that have hurt before. And if you know you're not doing yourself any damage, to use, use Scott Jurek's quote, it's just pain and it will go away eventually. And that was helpful. Once I knew, yeah, I'm not doing any damage, it's just pain. And it's sore and everything, but I didn't have anything else in my life other than getting better. That was the only thing that I needed to focus on at that time. And so I did.
But you could, I mean, again, you know, I've heard, as I said, I listened to a lot of people, you trying to really struggling with, you know, if you've got a really bad injury, what do you focus on and how you do it? But I remember you being so dedicated to, used to go, I remember we actually went away on holidays down to Kerry, down to the west coast of Ireland. I don't know what stage this was in your, this was probably about 4 months after the accident, thinking through the 4 or 5 months. And you'd been up every single morning as I'm getting up to have my cup of tea or whatever, and you'd be out in the garden at the front just doing those little kind of lunges and steps. And like, you were pretty dedicated to it. It wasn't, it's like anything, you know, I think everyone said you made a remarkable recovery, but that wasn't by accident. You know, you did work very, very hard at it. I think, you know, I think you could have just been much more passive and you probably would have recovered as well, but maybe not as quick, maybe not as strong. You know, I think you did everything you were told, I guess.
I was very dedicated in that sense, and I think I didn't have that was my main focus, was getting better. And once I knew that this would make me better or this is going to help, you want to weigh everything in your favor. So if this is going to help to go for a walk or to do this exercise, there's no real excuse not doing that. And I think that's goal setting in anyway. Like if you're do training for a race and they say, well, if you go for an hour run every day, you're going to run faster, then you know what the solution is, and there's no real excuse for not doing it. And I didn't have an excuse because I was at home with our folks looking after me. I didn't have a job because I
That's
couldn't
the question.
do anything, and I wasn't able to do anything other than, well, at the start I was learning to take a few steps and then a bit few more, and then I was able to walk.
But to that point, like, you kind of brushed over it a bit, but We all know how we could run faster. Like, I could push myself harder, do more sessions. Like, it's not the how, it's the dedication to do it. And that's kind of the difference between, I guess, top athletes and where certainly we're at. But with something like this, it obviously was important enough that you were going to do every single thing and kind of cut no corners and, you know, dedicated yourself to it.
I think I don't know if it's I think it's sport in general, maybe running in particular, but sport in general, it teaches you that teaches you how to make those long-term goals. In that I've seen other people and in my job as a teacher, you can see kids and adults who try something and then they're not very good at it and they give up. And the ones who've worked out that, you know, how to make these long-term goals and say, okay, if I do this for the next 2 months, in 2 months' time, I'll be much better. But I might not see it because it's that little incremental. And it's very helpful to know, okay, for me there, like walking, whether it was at the start and you're going, well, I'm going from three posts to four posts. That's pretty disheartening if you think about, well, I can only walk for, you know, 100 meters or then 105 meters. But trying to keep that long-term goal of, well, I want to be fully recovered. And if I do this, if I keep going five more for another 5 minutes each day, well, then soon I'll be in a.
And to that point, do you think like your ultra running was it a source of inspiration or quite the opposite? Was it slightly depressing in terms of knowing what you were able to do and what you are able to do now, or was it more inspiring as in I knew I used to be able to do that and that's where I want to get back to?
That's a good question.
Because it must be, I just think it must be a bit of both. Like you say, you're able to walk to the door, and you're like, geez, you know, a few weeks ago I was able to run 100 miles through, you know, UTMB, and now I'm here. Or was it, well, I know my body's capable of doing that, so I can get better, and I can. It was probably a bit of both, I guess, right? You probably good days and bad days, but.
I think it was a bit of both. I think it probably started being on the more inspirational one. So when we're just talking about walking and learning to be able, not learning, but building up the muscles to be able to walk further or to bend down and pick up things and generally get your general cover recovery to a state where you can say work or have a relatively normal life. Because at first, like it was okay for me to walk, but it wasn't okay for me to sit. So I remember a friend coming over and I was sitting in the chair and I was sat there for like 10 minutes and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm in too much pain. I'm just going to lie on the floor here. And they were like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, let's continue on with our conversation. I'm just lying on the floor. Either that or just walking around in circles, neither of which scream normality. But I think sorry, back to the question. I think at the start it was inspiration because like I know that I can do this. I'm physically fit enough. So if anyone can make a recovery, I can because I have all these the benefits of I'm y young and fit and healthy. And the doctor said that. And when they said, you know, walking helps, I remember asking, like, is there a limit to that? Like if And they're like, no, walking helps.
I'm
Walk
going to
as much
walk a
as you
hundred
can.
miles.
Yeah. So at one stage, I was walking something like six hours a day because it was less painful to walk to than to sit. So I was, yeah. So it was definitely inspirational then. I think later on, when the recovery slows and you're, it's hard. There was a bit of like, I want to be doing something else and I can't. And a bit of worry, or a bit of concern that now that I've recovered and I've got able to walk and to, you know, bend and tie my shoelaces or something like that, I'd like to be able to run and maybe I won't be able to run again because it's.
And we open with like doctors and stuff as to that you did the ultra running and that you had, you know, you ran 100 mile races and that's what you were hoping to do. Because like, you know, when they say, oh, you'll make a full recovery, they probably don't factor in, like, even if you go to a doctor now and you're perfectly healthy, they probably advise against doing those kind of super long races anyway. So like, did you kind of say to them that's what you do and that's what you want to get back to doing, or did you just kind of leave it as he says, I can go back to what I used to do? Yeah, no, kind of rather not know.
No, I was open. I think at the start, when the main concern was, getting a
Will you
normal
walk?
life, they
Yeah.
were very pleased that I was so fit and healthy, and they're like, oh, this is great. When I went to the sort of the, I forget the term for it, but when you're going back as an outpatient and you're talking about the recovery, and I was saying I'd like to go back running, they were less enthusiastic about that idea. I had some very good consultants, and the one I was with was saying, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't. However, it might have to be much shorter, or you might just experience pain when you run. And so you just might not be able to do that. And so that
Yeah.
was not great to hear. But
And
for
what would you
me,
say, like, do, running can be a lot of things to a lot of people. And, you know, we've kind of talked about why we run, what we enjoy, what we get out of it, you know, how it can be addictive, how it can help. Like, what did you miss? Was there, you know, obviously once you got through those first few months, what were you missing from, like, you know, we often use running as a way to de-stress, or you know, people use it to help with their mental health. Or did you find, or was it all just wrapped up together? Look, you didn't have a normal life, you couldn't work, blah blah blah. Or do you think there was things that you kind of were you extra grouchy at, and do you think because you couldn't get the exercise or the endorphins, or do you think it affected you any other ways like that?
I think that the pain did make me extra grouchy, but that was wrapped up in the whole change, and we did have plans for that 6 months, that year, and they sort of all went out
Hmm.
the window. I think what I realized more was, without running, I had to make the effort to get outside and
Mm.
to walk. And had I not been able to walk, had it been an injury where I couldn't walk, it would have been much worse, because they were the moments of joy and pleasure, were just walking around and being outside. And obviously, the better I got, the further into the nature I could get, and that was really delightful. By the first time I was able to walk, up on Tiknock, or the first time I was able to go to the woods or to the local park, they were huge moments, and it was just great to be outside. So,
Yeah.
without
And the
running, where you're like, when I run, I'm always outside, but so you don't necessarily appreciate the nature, and the joy of being outside, because it's wrapped up in the joy of running. But if you take away both of those, you're like, actually, I really miss, yeah, outside.
Yeah. I was thinking about the other day, because you'd mentioned about, you know, kind of whether we do a podcast on why we run and stuff. And I think it's not like that either of us love running, because if we loved running, we would have been in, we would be in and would have been in like running clubs and everything else. I think it is being out in the big mountains and doing all that's the bit I enjoy. I think even when I'm not able to run, I'll still want to go out and hike in the big mountains. I think so. Yeah, I could totally get that outside point. And can you remember when you first ran? I guess you had to get an okay from the doctor or something, but can you remember when you were first told you could, and what did you do, like 100 meters or something, or?
No, I do remember. I should say, but just before I come on, I did some cycling, and I did some other things before I got back to the running.
Yeah, you just, yeah. I remember because you being you as well, they said you could do some cycling, so you then decided you were going to cycle the length of Ireland, and I was like, I'm pretty sure they meant you could cycle to the shops, not just cycle however many miles from land from Malin Head to Mizzen Head. But anyway, I do, yeah, I remember that quite early on.
And I think that was, I remember Mum saying it to me afterwards. She said, I was very worried about you doing it, But actually, I think that was really important for you, and it was really important for us. And it was important for me because it was a big challenge and a big adventure. And just the fact that I could still do a big adventure, and a big challenge with the injury was a huge thing, because it's like, okay, maybe. And this was when you come back to whether I could run again, a source of solace or comfort. And I was thinking, if I can't run, I was like, okay, I can't run,
I could still have adventures and be
I
outside
could
and
just cycle from top to bottom of Ireland, those sorts of things. And that was a huge thing. And it was very good for other people to realize, okay, Kevin's, he can still have his goals. He's not entirely defined by running and ultra running, so I did that, and I did a lot of swimming before I was able to. The first thing I could do after the was walking, and then the next form of exercise after a month or two was swimming, because there's no impact. Then it was cycling and then running.
Because I remember, obviously, the accident happened in the Feb, and we were down to do, we've never and still haven't done a multi-day event ever. I know it's probably on both of our bucket lists at some point to do, but I think we were down to do the Ring of Fire in Anglesey, maybe September time. And there was a point when you were like, I still think I could do this. And then I think, I don't know, you just didn't want to admit defeat or whatever it was, but I think you weren't even run come kind of August time, and we were like, no, we've got to pull the plug on this. But I think there was a pretty, from memory, you were kind of still holding out hope that we might be able to do that at one point.
Hope springs eternal. It wasn't very realistic.
Because
But
it was a whole nother year before you actually did your first race then after that. Because
yeah,
that would have been,
I was a year before, over a year before I did any little jog. Just a final thing before I talk about the first run, I was like talking about the swimming. Like at first, I wasn't swimming. I was just doing lunges in the like kiddie recovery pool. So there was just me and lots of like elderly ladies in their 80s in the recovery pool, just doing like walking up and down. And that was it. It was
aqua aerobics.
aqua aerobics. It was me and then lots of 80-year-old women walking up and down. And it's a new experience. And I think when if you have something like this, you can either be really sad that you're stuck with, you're not
In the
exactly out
recovery
with your
pool.
friends, or you could just embrace it and just go, well, this is a new experience and I've never done this before. I might not do this again, but hey, it's an experience. And I was lucky that I was able to walk to the pool and then walk up and down in the pool and then walk home. That was
And so
my
your
day.
first run, yeah, you reckon what you was a year or so before you were running.
It was just over a year, because I think the doctor and the consultant has said, he said something like, you may be able to do it before, but I think you should wait a year before you try it and then go back very gently. And so I was very good at following what the doctor said, and he said a year, and I said, okay, well, we'll do that. And it was in Hastings where I was at that time, and I was terrified. I think he's when I was going out, I was like, I'm going to break it, because I'd been protecting it for so long, and you can into the lower back, and you do have vibrations up your legs and into your back, and I was very, very concerned about it, and everything in my back was so the muscles were shredded basically as part of the accident, so as well as the bone, so they were still rebuilding, so it just feels like the whole back was really, really tense. And I remember it's the one and only time I've worn my UTMB gilet from 2016, the one that looks like a bean bag, but
Bean bag, it'd be nice. It's a bin bag, not a
a
bean
bin
bag.
bag, a bin bag. So I put on some, because it was relatively cold, but also I knew I wasn't going to be moving well. So I put on like thick Under Armour, a jacket, and then I had the bin bag over it and the hat. And I took a picture before I went out, which I think I still have as my phone to remind me of, where we came from. And I went out, and I think I probably did about 5 minutes, and then, came back and I was like, yeah, success.
And
Okay. And
I
then
guess there's a
gradually
lot of
built up.
like psychosomatic pain as well that's not actually there. Do you know what I mean? You must have been so worried about it, as you said. I can't imagine what that's like to, go out and, if it's like you're kind of waiting for it to hurt or waiting for it to break, or, none of
Yeah.
that freedom that the rest of us have. I've never had anything, a big accident like that. And, you just go and do it. You don't really think of it, or, if you've got a niggle, we often ignore it, but it was probably the opposite. If there's any kind of niggle, you're like, oh, not sure
Yeah.
what that is.
And it was hard because it hurt because the muscles hadn't been used, and all of a sudden I'm trying to use them. So that was a good pain. And you want to make your muscles stronger, and they needed to be used to make them stronger. So they were going to hurt, but I don't want to break my back, which would also be painful. So you're constantly thinking, that pain, is that an okay pain? Is that a not okay pain? And that was concerning. And yeah, there was the one other moment which I think was important, was I'd probably been running small, short jogs, very slow, for a week or two. And I went out, and I went around a little corner slowly, but there was some mud, and I slipped and I fell, and I banged myself on the ground.
That
And
must have been
that was
scary.
scary. That was scary, and it hurt. And I was a bit worried, to say the least. But I think that was also good, because once, I got up and sort of, well, it seems to be okay and nothing's too bad, then I had a bit of confidence going, okay, so it can handle me falling over, so I don't need to be as scared, if and that so that was a good moment.
And anyone who knows you fall over a lot in races and running. So,
I do.
it's pretty essential to your running to be able to fall over as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the same if you didn't. But yeah, I can imagine that. I remember you saying to me as well about coming downstairs that you just couldn't get out of your head that you were just going to slip on stairs for no reason, just because. You could just imagine yourself sliding on your back downstairs, and like, yeah, I can't
Yeah.
imagine the kind of thought process that goes on if you're kind of carrying yourself with, you're worried everything's going to break.
And some of that, doesn't totally go away even now. And I'm okay on stairs. I'm okay on stairs, but like sometimes I go skiing with the school, but I'm not at all happy anywhere near a tree. I'm very, and there's no logic. And even things like, I find it very hard to watch mountain bikers, videos of mountain biking, because all I can think of is them coming off and hitting the tree. And so I don't like that at all.
Go back to the steps, though. I hadn't even thought of this, but I remember you saying that at the time. And then didn't you? Was it the Montrose Sky Race or one of the races you did a couple of years ago that finishes with a descent that has like
A thousand,
2,000
yeah, 100 steps.
steps or something to finish? That must have been a fun ride, coming absolutely bailing down there those steps. It obviously didn't cross your mind at that point, or maybe it did. I don't know. Did it?
No, it did. It didn't. It the strange. I don't have the fear of running downhill, but I have fear like skiing downhill much more, or nerves like that. And not that I've been on a bike, or a mountain bike, but I'd find that scary. So some things I've developed a fear, because I wouldn't previously have had a lot of fear on those. But yeah, no, I'm okay running downhill. I think I've
And then,
enough experience of falling over, so I feel I'm okay.
so that was kind of, I guess it sounds like Feb, March time, you started doing a little bit of running. Your first race back, you ended up doing again, true Kev style, not easing yourself back into a park run or a 10K. You signed up for a 50-mile race, Wendover 50 race in November, which is a pretty tough race. It's got what about 10,000 feet, I think, of elevation in that 50 miles as well. And you signed up, and that race is in November. At what point did you sign up for that? Or was it a postponed one from the year before, or can't even remember now?
No, well, it wasn't. So I started running back, say, in the March. I don't know exactly when I signed up, but I don't think it would have been until the September, because
Right,
the
so quite.
September was when I had the consultant, and I spoke to him because previously he said that you could do runs up to about half an hour. And then in
And then you went,
September,
I'll go 8 hours. Or whatever it is. I'll see you half an hour.
he said, yeah, I was like, is there any reason? And I think his response was, there's no reason you can't, but obviously if it starts hurting really bad, stop. But if it's like that sharp pain is bad, the dull ache muscles, that's okay. But we're obviously getting X-rays and CT scans all along the way, and the bones had the little pieces had fused enough that he was okay. Now, he did say, I think the instructions were, I don't see any problems with running, but don't take up rugby or any other contact sport, and I'd be a bit careful about, anything where you're likely to have a big accident, because if you have an ax big accident now, it's more serious than if you were fine.
And like, as I said, it wasn't a, you could have picked a smaller goal or a less tough race or a shorter race. Was there any reason why that was the one that you, because we'd done that one before, I think.
I hadn't done it. You'd done it, but I
Okay.
hadn't. It was close. So that I think was the main thing. It was close, and easy, because it was close to our house. I think you had signed up, and then you couldn't do it because you had a child.
Yeah, Matty was born in November. He was born about a week before, or 2 weeks before the race or something. Yeah, so it was pretty close. So it was
So
just you.
I think it was probably you had signed up, and it was close to me, it was close to you. It made sense as a one, and it's a loop race as well. So I very much figured, well, if I can't do it, or I can do a bit, it's an easy one to drop out, and it's an easy one to go around and say, check, okay, am I okay? I'm okay. Okay, I'll try another loop. It's five loops of about 10 miles, so it did make it easier that way.
And I can only speak from being a spectator and crew a cruise at that one. Mum and dad came over for it, and your girlfriend at the time, wife now, was there as well, and it felt like it was quite like emotional, I think. I don't know how you felt coming back and doing that race, but you had an amazing race, and I think the doctor's orders actually helped you. He said, take it easy to start with and see how you go, because you just got quicker and quicker and quicker in each lap. And it's probably one of your, probably right up there in your top three results, I would say, that you've ever had. Like you ran fantastically that day. I don't know. Did it mean like, did it mean a lot to you to be back doing a race, and or was it just another race? Did it kind of mean a bit more as a first race back?
I think it did mean more as a first race back, but I think it was more being able, the word from the doctor in sort of September, when he said, there's no reason you can't do running. That was important, because it was like, okay, I can do this. The race itself was, yeah, it was a fun race. It
I
was a fun
remember you
race
being
because
super happy, like you were really enjoying it, I think, which again is, we've talked about, but that's a great sign, isn't it?
I did. It was a lovely race, because I hadn't obviously been running. Like, up until September, I think I'd been, you could do half an hour or something like that. Maybe it was 40 minutes. I remember going for a run for you with you, and you taking us out for like an hour and 15, and I was like, I'm not happy. I'm only supposed to be out for 40 minutes or something like this. And I was like, oh, I don't like this, but I was okay. But once I got the all clear, it was great. And so I didn't have a long training run in because I also wanted to take it easy. So I think I was running twice a week and then doing some leg strength exercises. And of that twice a week, like one might have been an hour or two, and the other was a 45-minute loop. And so I was only just get back running. And so I wasn't sure I had any endurance. And the way the race went was just a really fun way to r run a race because I said, okay, well, I'm just gonna, there's five laps and I'm just gonna plod around basically for the first lap. I had a mantra for each one. And the first one was like, just have a look at the course and who's there. The second one was, take it easy, don't go fast. I think the third one was like, okay, try and get into a rhythm. The fourth one was like, oh, well, maybe you could start see looking around, doing some racing, and then if you're okay on the fifth one, let
Go
fly.
for it. Yeah.
And that was great because by the time I came round and I was on the fourth lap, I was like, I feel great. And I didn't know, I hadn't done anything anywhere near as long as that. And so I was half expecting to just sort of collapse and be really struggling after two laps. And to be going around the third lap and then the fourth lap and going, I feel great. And then
Yeah.
entering the fifth lap, I was like, I'm feel full of energy. Let's go. And so I just, yeah, I raced around the fifth lap and it
You
was just
did. It
great
was.
because I buzzing past people who have been gone out much faster. And I was feeling absolutely wonderful and having a ball. And there's lots of climbs and descents and just having a ball.
I often wondered, like, because again, it was a great race, and to your point, you hadn't done that much training, but you had done loads of strength training in your legs because it was all part of your rehab, was like getting
Lunges.
strong. Yeah, and that race is very, I mean, there's no flat really in that race. And it does make me think that maybe I should do a bit more strength training and just stop running loads of miles and actually do some strength, because you're super strong. And I do think that must have been just that how much kind of stuff you've done, and how you've done a lot of flexibility work and strength as well as strength work, so you're probably much more rounded than probably you are now, because you're doing all those other elements as well. But
Yeah, it was definitely because it, the back still hurt, and I was worried. Like the doctors, don't. It was like with the training, it was like don't go mad, And so I'd sort of said, okay, I'm gonna train, I'm gonna run twice a week, and then the strength. So it was really nice to know. I mean, for myself, I was like, okay, maybe I won't be able to run, five times a week or long miles, but I can still do really well in this race. Running twice a week and doing some leg exercises. It's great.
yeah. And then the kind of final part of the story is, obviously you did that race, and then you had another operation and almost had to start again, a second time, which, if I remember rightly, and it's your story, you can step in it. But basically the doctor said you can either leave it as is with the rods in there, but you'll always feel a bit stiff and you'll always feel slightly robotic, I guess, or you can have a whole other operation and have it all out again if everything's gone to plan. But there's obviously the risks of having an operation and everything else. And you chose to do that and kind of start again from scratch after another major operation. But
Yeah, it was a yeah, it was a bit like that. There was a bit more nuanced, I guess, in that the bones needed to knit back together again, so they're not just floating around before they could take the screws and the plates out. And they had sort of knitted back together. So two of the vertebrae, the smashed up one, the biggest piece, they had sort of grown and connected to the vertebrae above on one side, but not on the other side. And so they were sort of connected and sort of not, and you couldn't quite see. Long story short, that the consultancy was like, we can do the operation, We can take it out. It's probably strong enough to not need the nuts and bolts, but we won't know until we take it out. And he said, "Well, you can leave them in, and you'll probably need an operation at some stage, or you might need one in the future because the nuts and the screws put extra strain on the other parts of the back. Or we can try taking it out here, but we don't really know what will happen." I think his advice was like, "It's up to you," but I think he was saying, "If it's me, I'd probably avoid the operation because with any operation,
There's
there's
risk.
risks," which is, but I thought, and it spent quite a long time thinking about it, and I decided it
You'd
I
ignore his
want
advice.
to ignore his advice. He was very good and very honest, about what he said, and he was just, I think, operations are risky. And there was a moment when I was signing the paper, and it's like, "I acknowledge there's a risk of death," and there's like a 1% risk of death, and 1% is very small, but when it's a risk of death, it's gives you
It's
more
still
thought.
quite, it's not you'd like it to be one in a thousand at least. But
Yeah.
and then I guess once that had obviously gone successfully, you kind of had to do a whole other load of rehab again and get back again, but obviously a much shorter period. But you
Yeah,
kind of
and
knew what you were doing.
I think one other thing to mention was before the operation. So I decided to have the operation in something like April time was when I made the decision. I said, "Okay, well, we'll try and do it," or maybe it was a bit later than that. But before the operation, we had a 100 mile race, me, you, and Chris,
North Downs
and
100,
that was one, because there was a one of the other warnings that he said was he's like, "Running the, we'll take it out and it should be fine, but there's a chance that you'll be able to walk, and hopefully you'll be able to walk and run, but you might just be, 5 Ks and that will be it, and or might not. There's no guarantees." And so while the risk of dying, I think, was very low, there was a much greater risk that I wouldn't be able to run. And so for me, in my head, I said, "Okay, well, we'll run this 100 mile, and then we'll have the operation. If we get through the 100 mile and we have the operation, we can't go back running, I can feel
You'd
I've
have done
left
that.
it a bit on my terms, I've done that, bang, yay."
We also did we also did Bob Graham that summer as well. It was the same year, wasn't it? So that was another one we ticked off, but
Yeah, so is it,
which
yeah, it
was
did
good.
very much feel that,
It's good timing.
yeah, and it's like a sense of not completion, but a sense of, yeah, a bit of a sense of completion. If I had to leave running after this, I
I'll have
have
done.
done the Bob Graham, and I'll have run 100 mile with my two brothers, and
Good way to
that's a
go
pretty
out.
cool, good way to go.
As it turned out, it was only the start. You were just getting going. And so obviously then since then you've gone on to do our Paddy Buckley's, you've done TDS, you've done lots of big stuff, and you obviously have no issues. You still descend like an absolute madman, which always amazes me after all these injuries and stuff that you're still willing to literally throw yourself down a mountain. But again, with this aim of this being trying to be useful to others as well who are going through like a recovery or rehab, what would your kind of three top tips be for somebody who's, starting from scratch again with it? Is there anything in particular in terms of goal setting or mindset or anything that you'd say that you learned or worked for you?
I think it's going to be difficult not to sound too much like a guru or someone going too deep with answers, but I think for, yeah, the thinking your long term goal is important. So not seeing that all these little goals that I do today and tomorrow are going to help me achieve something in the future, and not getting disheartened because I'm only a little bit further on than I was last week. Thinking big picture, okay, what I'm doing today is going to help me in 2 years' time. I think That's important. That was important. I think realizing that, gosh, let's say that you're not defined entirely by your hobby or by running. That if you have to leave it, you can still take pleasure in the sport and in other sports, just might be a slightly different way. I know when I was injured, like I crewed Chris to his first 100 mile, or helped crew Chris to him.
We started down 100, yeah, we did, yeah.
I was also there for you when you did a 50 mile, and I was a race crew or marshal for one of them.
Marshall,
And I'd much rather be running them, but
I
they
like
were
that. So
still good, enjoyable.
it doesn't define you, but actually I'm going to do all the other things that are also running related, even though this doesn't define me. It's not like you went off to a different sport. But I
No,
think
but
that's true. I think we all are, people at work know me as somebody who runs, or you know what I mean? You do become defined by it. So I think that is an important thing to realize. You shouldn't or don't have to be defined by it.
no, because at some stage, well, one, you can have an accident like I do, and that can be the end of it. And then, if that's your one source of joy in the life, you're in a bad way. And if that's what you say, well, I am worthwhile because I can run a marathon in 3 hours, or I'm worthwhile because I can run a
If
hundred miles,
only.
it's a bit sad. And yeah, it's not a good way to be. And it can be taken away with an accident, but also at some stage we're gonna get old, and we won't get faster, and we'll start getting slower, and at some stage we won't be able to do it. And that will be really depressing if you take only
If
your
nothing
value
else, yeah.
from going faster or doing that. So that's two. A third one, I don't know.
Watch out for
Maybe
trees.
watch it go around the trees. No, I think it's a third one on a serious level is probably don't be afraid of the crazy. But like when I was talking to the doctors, I think it was important for me to say, this is what I want to do, and to be able to stand up and say, will I be able to do this? And why can't I be able to do it? Because there's a lot of people in the world who will say, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't run this. And
And they'd say that to a healthy person, let alone somebody who's trying to come back from a
you
major
need to
injury, yeah.
know, like, well, why? Like, and if they can come up with a why. And so at the start, when the doctor was like, your vertebrae is floating around, it's dangerous, I'm like, oh, that's a good why. Don't do that. But when it was like, it just seems extreme, you're like, well, that's not that. And one other thing, sorry, I know I've got four, but this isn't really, this is a
Sorry.
slight tangent. But one of the hardest things from it, and it still happens today, is people trying to get me not to use my back because they think it needs to be protected. So they don't want me carrying stuff. They don't want me doing anything that would work my back. And trying to get across the message to them, that it seems slightly illogical. I do have a damaged back. But the way to make it stronger is to work it. It needs the exercise. The worst possible thing, and all the doctors and all the surgeons were very clear about this, the worst possible thing you can do is do nothing. If you stay in bed, if you stop doing these things, it's going to be bad. If you don't do your muscle, like exercises your back, it will make it bad, and it will make it weak and damaging. So if you see me carrying stuff, it's more important for me to be carrying stuff, obviously in the correct way and not putting undue, but it's more important for me to be working my back than for you to be working your back, because mine is slightly compromised and it need those muscles need to be strengthened.
So you can carry all my kit if we have a Charlie Ramsay round attempt. I'll just say it's good for you.
It's good for me.
It's better that you carry it all rather than me. I'll make the sacrifice and go really light, and you can take one for your back and carry everything. But Well, thank you for thank you for going through that. I'm sure hopefully it wasn't too traumatic. And I think if anyone is listening and is also going through recovery or on road to recovery, I'm sure you would welcome any questions or any tips or get in touch.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'd be more than happy to answer. But yeah, so no, that was good. I hope we'll be back for maybe a slightly more cheery topic next week, although I think that was good. But yeah, unless you've anything else to add, I think we should wrap it up there. As always, if you get a chance, do like, subscribe, follow, share, review. I don't know, is there anything else you can do to the podcast to get it out there?
I think
Talk
you
about it,
can
write us a
leave
letter.
feedback. And you can write a
Okay.
comment on it as well. But I
Excellent.
don't
All
know
of
if
those
we
things.
we haven't worked that out, but feel free.
Send us a fax.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. But yes, that would be great. And otherwise, yeah, we hope everyone has a good week out there on the trails, and we shall speak to you soon.
Have fun and avoid trees.
Avoid trees. Bye.
Bye.